most of us understand and appreciate, I think, very much. The importance of congregational singing in the work and worship that we do in the local church. But have you ever wondered why it is that singing is so important to God, and that God has made singing an important part of the work that we do together in the worship and the work of the local church? What role does congregational singing play in our worship? And what role does congregational singing play in our individual lives as Christians? So what I want us to do with the service tonight is to think about congregational singing. And I've titled this Congregational Singing Matters. There are some things that congregational singing does for us as individuals, and some things that congregational singing does for us and reminds us of when we engage in it. This is not a lesson, and congregational singing, this is not a lesson about singing as opposed to singing and playing. That's a different issue and a different subject. But congregational singing, even those who support the use of mechanical instruments in music and worship will admit that it is right to sing. And most of them will admit that congregational singing is an important part of what we do. Music, at least, is an important part of what we do in our worship service. So I want us to think about congregational singing tonight. And I want us to think about the fact that congregational singing matters. And in order to do that, I've got seven reasons why congregational singing matters. What is it that congregational singing, when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, what is it that congregational singing does for us? And the first reason is that when we sing, we obey. And that's pretty clear when you look in the two probably main text passages that we generally resort to or refer to when we talk about congregational singing, Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. In Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And he says something very similar in Ephesians chapter 5, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. You notice something about both of those passages, Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. And that is the form in which they appear in the text. In neither one of these passages does Paul say, if you feel like it, sing. He doesn't say, if you want to sing. He doesn't say, sing or don't sing, it doesn't really matter. It is stated in the form of a command. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so I would suggest to you at the beginning, right at the very beginning, that one of the things congregational singing does for us is it reminds us of the importance of obeying God and doing exactly what God asks. It certainly is an incredible privilege to sing. It is a joy to sing, and we'll say something about that a little bit later on. But singing reminds us about the significance and the importance of obeying God. When we sing, we obey God.
Number 326, trust and obey.
Secondly, when we sing, we become more deeply rooted in God's Word. And that is a purpose of singing that I'm afraid, if we're not really careful, gets lost in the shuffle. The Apostle Paul, again in Colossians 3:16, says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." And then he says two things. He says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." One of the ways we teach the Word of God, one of the ways we admonish one another in the Word of God, is by singing. It's so easy to get caught up in the beauty of the music, the harmony that we sing so well. It's so easy to get caught up in that sometimes, and maybe even get so caught up in that that we really lose sight of what's being said. One of the primary purposes of singing is to help us to learn something about God's Word. It is one of the two ways that God has devised that we learn His Word. We are taught God's Word, and we sing God's Word. As a matter of fact, I love this. I ran across this some time ago. I can't remember who the author was. I did not source it. But I wrote this down. I made a note about this and kept it in my files, that one author called church singing take-home theology. And I really like that, because he said the best songs we sing together serve as short, easily memorizable, I'm not sure memorizable is a word, but easily memorizable, deeply biblical summaries of important truths from scriptures. I will tell you this, that even at the age at which I find myself, it is still helpful if I need to call the names of the apostles, in my head at least, to sing the song. The names of the 12 sons of Jacob, I might not could just spout them off, but I could sing it for you. I won't. But one of the important things about our singing, and I think I'm confident that one of the reasons God wants us singing together, is so that we can teach one another. And we're going to sing the song, In Christ Alone. It is a song that reminds us that it is only in Christ that we can be in a right relationship with God. And we learn about being in Christ, and one of the ways we learn about being in Christ is by singing.
In Christ Alone, this song will be on the screen only.
That song that we just sang, by the way, I think very powerfully illustrates this next point. Number three, that when we sing, we build up others. Others is very much a part of the import of singing. In Ephesians chapter 5, addressing one another. In Colossians chapter 3, teaching and admonishing one another. Part of what we do in singing is we encourage and we build up one another. We have one another, various one another responsibilities in our relationship to each other as Christians and as members of local churches. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3, that expression or some form of it, one another, appears a number of times. The exhortation to sing, teach and admonish one another comes on the heels of bearing with one another in verse 13. Forgiving one another, also in verse 13. Putting on love for one another in verse 14. Being at peace and being united as the body of Christ in verse 15. And then verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so when we sing, we build one another up. We encourage one another. We exhort one another. And one of the songs that has done that, I think as well as any song that has been written in the last 200 years, is a wonderful old song. That was written on a very sad occasion, but the song does just such a good job of exhorting and encouraging us to keep our confidence and our trust in God. And singing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works. Let's sing together, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Number 626.
probably not normal to think about being engaged in warfare when we sing, but might I suggest to you that the context of both Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 seem to indicate that that is where Paul places congregational singing. In Colossians 3, Paul challenges the Corinthians to put to death the sin in their lives, to kill sin, to fight this battle with sin. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul again commands us to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right after telling us to make the best use of the time because the days are evil. And a little bit later on, just a few paragraphs after admonishing us to sing, Paul will talk to us about putting on our spiritual armor. We just sang that incredible song. The words, the music, everything about that song suggests majesty. And I was sitting there thinking about making this point, and I'm thinking, Satan must hate this. You know, there are two postures, two defensive postures that we take as Christians that drive Satan crazy. One of them is when we lift up our hearts in prayer to God. He can't stand that. And it's really hard for Satan to tempt us to sin when we are praying. And might I suggest to you that the same thing is true when we are singing. When we are singing, we are manifesting the armor of God. We make it very hard to think evil thoughts, to have immoral thoughts. Temptation really is virtually, if we are engaged in the singing, temptation is virtually ineffective, non-effective, a non-factor. Satan hates it when we pray. And Satan hates it when we sing. And so, from time to time, it's helpful to think about the fact that when we sing, we are fighting this battle against Satan.
In the supplement number 4, the battle belongs to the Lord. Number 4 in the supplement.
Joy in just a minute, but before we do that, I want to talk about trial. And I want to suggest to you that one of the reasons why God wants us to sing, and one of the reasons why biblical singing matters, is because when we sing, we are spiritually strengthened for the trial. We actually have a biblical example of this, do we not? In the book of Acts, Paul and Silas are unjustly imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. And what do they do while they are there in prison? The text tells us in Luke chapter 16 and verse 25 that they were singing. And that singing not only built them up, it not only encouraged them, but it had some impact on the people around them who were listening to them sing. In the hour of trial, these godly men who were being unjustly persecuted for their faith were singing. If you've ever read something like Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a little bit of a hard book to read, because it tells stories going all the way back to the first century, it tells stories down through the centuries of Christians who have been brutally tortured and killed for their faith. It is impressive how often Christians would go to the stake, would go to the noose, would go to the torture racks, in those two postures that we talked about just a moment ago. They would go praying, and they would go singing. There are amazing stories, especially in the Middle Ages, of Christians being burned alive, singing hymns and songs, singing spiritual songs. Singing has an incredible power to strengthen us when we go through trial. I could offer a lot of personal testimony about this for all of my life. As far as I can remember, I would go through periods of times when I would feel, I just called it blue. I would have those little blue times in my life. And what I learned very young was that nobody could talk me out of it. I couldn't even talk myself out of it. But almost always music could bring me back. I think that's one of the reasons why God wants us to sing. One of the benefits of congregational singing, one of the reasons why congregational singing matters, is because it helps us in the hour of trial.
Number 83 of the hymnal, In the Hour of Trial. No.
How many of you were not familiar with that song? You hadn't sung that song before? A few people. That's an old, old song. But that song is one of the reasons why we cannot let the old songs go. We just can't. There's no new hymn. As much as I love the new hymns, I can't think of a single new hymn. Maybe I'm missing something that expresses what that, the sentiment that that song just expressed. We need these old hymns, and we need to keep them. But clearly, and I already mentioned this, when we sing, we walk a God-designed pathway to joy. It is impressive how often singing, music, and joy is connected together in the Bible. It really is a major theme of the Psalms. Psalm 5, let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing, let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them that those who love your name may exult in you. Psalm 9, I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Psalm 51, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Psalm 59, I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. Psalm 63, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. And we just nail it down with James chapter 5 and verse 16, right? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. Persistently and consistently in Scripture, joy and singing are bound together. And it's interesting how it works. If you are happy, sing. If you're not happy, as we've just sung and as we've just discussed, sing in order to become happy, in order to receive joy. If you struggle for joy, sing. If you are joyful, sing. Sing and be happy.
Number 683.
True obedience, deep roots in the Word of God, building up others, engaging in the war against Satan and sin, persevering in times of trial, and experiencing very intense joy in God. All of these things are why singing matters. But all of those things really are just, secondary is not the right word. All of those things are really lead-ins to this. And that is, singing matters because when we sing, we glorify God. Yeah, thank you. When we sing, we glorify God. And we see that in the text, in Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. Our singing is to God. We sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord because He is the object of our praise. I think sometimes we worry a little too much about how it sounds. I've told you before, I have been, and I know some of you have too, in country congregations and out in rural counties, and you've worshiped together with brethren, and the singing sounds more like calling the cattle maybe than it does what we experience with singing, but that there is a beauty to it that is always amazing to me. Godly people singing at the top of their lungs, singing with all of their hearts. They may not get the tune exactly right. That's okay. Usually by the second verse, you can figure it out and jump in. But it's beautiful. I always try to remind myself, it's not how it sounds to me. It's how it sounds to God. And when we are singing out of a manifestation of true obedience, and when we are singing to teach and admonish one another and to build one another up and to engage in war against Satan and to persevere in trial and to sing because we're happy, when we're singing in that way, when we're doing it for those reasons, we are praising God. Singing has a unique way to bring everything together in such an incredibly powerful way. When we sing, we glorify God. Our scripture reading tonight, I appreciate Zach doing this for us, was in Revelation chapter 14. And in Revelation chapter 14, as part of the vision that John sees, he sees people of every tribe and people and language, great multitudes of people gathered together around the throne, and what are they doing? They're singing. Does singing matter? You know, there won't be a need to take the Lord's Supper when we get to heaven. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the death of Christ. We will be with Christ. And there won't be any need for preaching. Many of you will be happy to hear that, I'm sure. Because we will know everything. We will know as we are known. But the one thing that we find the saints and all the spiritual beings doing in heaven is singing this new song. And I want to be there, and I want you to be there as well. And so we're going to sing one more song, and the song is not typically an invitation song, but we're going to use it as our invitation song tonight. Glorify thy name. That in the singing that we do, we're glorifying the name of God. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, you can glorify the name of God by confessing before this group of people that you believe Jesus is God's Son and repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you are a Christian and you know that there is some reason why you need to make a public acknowledgement of sin, and perhaps not even just, if it's not public, just between you and God, you know what you need to do, and you do that. You are glorifying God when you humbly repent of your sins and confess them to God. But we stand ready to help you in any way because we want to all be together in that group when we're singing the new song. And it won't be the new song in the old Sacred Selection songbook that we still call the new song even though we've been singing it for 50 years. It'll be a song we haven't heard yet. But I want to be there, and I want you to be there. I want all of us to be there singing that new song together and glorifying the name of God. So we're going to stand and sing. Where in the, is this in the song book?
It's in the hymnal number 505.
505 in the hymnal. If you want to use the hymnal, it'll be on the screen. We're going to stand and sing this invitation song. And if you're subject to the invitation, we can help you in any way to glorify God by rendering obedience to the gospel. Come to the front while we stand and while we sing.